It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio on the Sunday before Christmas. I thank you very much for being with me and hope that you have a terrific holiday season. I'm going to start off this show a little bit where I ended off the other day, last Sunday, when I said there's an opportunity for a lot of interference as administrations change hands. And I say it, and I mentioned at the time, it's been done both by Republicans when Democrat administrations come in, and it's been done by Democrats when Republicans come in. It cuts both ways. And why we have a system where the incoming government is able to gum up the wheels, if you will, of the, the outgoing government is able to gum up the wheels of the incoming government is in fact an anomaly in anywhere there's democracies around the world. But that's the way it is in America. And at present, the outgoing administration is certainly doing things that will make it difficult for the incoming administration to act on a number of their agenda items. One of the things that presidents have done for a long time is they have used the Antiquities Act to make national monuments, therefore protected areas, from future development to as a payoff either politically or as a point of view of their beliefs in conservation and protecting America's great natural resources or historical monuments, which is why it's called the Antiquities Act. And it was really, President Theodore Roosevelt in 1906, he did what Congress was unwilling to do through legislation. He used his new authority. This is 1906, over 100 years ago. He used his new authority under the Antiquities Act to designate Devil's Tower in Wyoming as the first national monument. And he did that because Congress would not preserve that area. There have been many, many areas that have since come under the category of the Antiquities Act. And he went on to preserve the Petrified Forest in Zanu in Arizona, the Chaco Canyon, and the cliff dwellings in New Mexico, the Grand Canyon. Think about that. The Grand Canyon was not protected until President Roosevelt in 1906 protected it. Death Valley in California, and they're now part of Zion and Bryce Canyon National Parks in Utah. So there have been many precedents that have used it. All presidents, but three presidents have used the Antiquities Act to protect unique landscapes and cultural resources. Current President Joe Biden has created six new monuments that are either restored, enlarged, or modified boundaries of existing natural Antiquities Act monuments. This is raising, again, the question of why do we tie the hands of incoming administrations with the acts of outgoing administrations? You could say that Teddy Roosevelt did a great thing for the country. You could say that others have done a great thing, but it does make it hard for the incoming administration to be able to carry out their agenda, and that's just the way our government works. One of the things our government definitely does not work on doing in these last few days is working with states when it comes to the implementation of the Green New Deal. And specifically, I speak about the Lava Ridge Wind Farm Project, one of the biggest wind farm projects in all of North America that has been under consideration by the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, to be put in place in Idaho, in southern Idaho. I mentioned a few shows ago that the Green New Deal and all of its sustainable energy, solar and wind in particular, much of its focus is on being delivered in the American West, where there is a substantial amount of public lands. However, there is also a substantial amount of public backlash to the establishment of mammoth wind farms and mammoth solar projects, much as there was years ago, if you can remember, off of Martha's Vineyard, when they wanted to put up a big wind farm, and lots of influential people, including the Kennedy family and others, got involved and said, we think wind is great. We just don't want to look at the turbines. So guess what happened? The turbines were delayed and then put further offshore, which now they've become apparently an area that is really endangering the whale migration up and down the East Coast. But that's a subject for an entirely different show. So So the Biden administration's Green New Deal, or sustainable energy deal, is to put up really large-scale solar and wind farms across public lands in the American West. But the American West residents and legislators who are acting on behalf of the residents are not in favor of this. So the Lava Ridge Wind Farm has been under consideration now for 4 years. It is opposed by every member of the Idaho delegation, including the governor of Idaho. And the BLM had tabled it after President Biden lost re-election. The director of the BLM, and we have to assume at the direction of the White House, approved going forward with the Lava Ridge Wind Farm, the largest wind farm of its kind in Idaho and one of the largest in the West. The Idaho delegation now is moving forward with something that I imagine the Trump administration is going to think favorably of, and that is there can be no solar or wind project on federal lands in any state in America without the approval of that state's legislature. It only makes sense. Why would we be able on public lands to destroy the lifestyle and lives and wildlife and natural beauty of public lands in, say, Nevada, and you in West Virginia benefit from that, or Illinois benefit from that? So the tide is definitely turning. The Lava Ridge Wind Farm is going to be, I'm sure, a subject of lawsuits, but I also think it's going to be one of the first items the Trump administration looks at, because the entire Western delegation, not only of those in Idaho, but across the West, have all taken the position, no sustainable energy projects in our state without the approval of legislature. So in the waning days of the outgoing Biden administration, I'm not faulting the Biden administration, all administrations have done this, they are passing things or moving through with executive orders or issuing edicts from departments, in this case the director of the BLM, that go contrary to the wishes of the people in the state in which these lands are going to be used. And the subject of wind farms and solar farms and the tens of thousands of acres that they take up and that they impact is one that's only going to increase as we as a country, if we continue to move forward with particularly wind and solar energy. This takes a lot of land. It has a lot of environmental consequences. And the people living in places where this is taking place are not very happy. And that includes those of us here in Illinois. Any drive down I-39 or I-55 towards Springfield at night, and it looks like a sea of blinking lights, red blinking lights, hundreds of feet in the air. And that's because it is a sea of red blinking lights, hundreds of feet in the air, because of the incredible number of wind turbines that now, particularly on I-39, have come up and risen up on private property in recent years. So this is not an issue that's going to go away. And in the American West, where there's a vast amount of public land, it's an issue where I think the incoming administration is going to be under extreme pressure, because most of the Western states voted for the incoming Trump administration, with the exception of Colorado until you get to the Pacific Northwest. They all did. You're going to see a situation where there is going to be a lot of pressure to rescind the Green New Energy Deal from the Biden administration. And I'm not saying that's good or it's bad. I'm just saying that is going to happen. Before I go to the break, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk a bit about a Christmas list, and I'm also going to talk about when we think about charity and giving to organizations that we believe are worthwhile, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the organizations that may be taking advantage of our public trust. But before I do, I want to talk about Manhaden for a moment. You're probably saying, Manhaden, what's a Manhaden? Manhaden is a bait fish that's at the bottom of the food chain or near the bottom of the food chain that is absolutely central to the survival of fish in all of its waters, whether it's striped bass in the Chesapeake or up in Maine or salmon. But they are the primary source of food for striped bass. And the Manhaden population is under siege from commercial fisheries who use the Manhaden for cat foods and other kinds of food that are eaten by animals. So the Bonefish Tarpon Trust and others are working to try to reduce the Manhaden harvest, because at its current levels, it does not appear to be sustainable. And if you wipe out the bait fish, you then move it right up the food chain, and pretty soon you don't have larger fish, which is, of course, what we're much more familiar with. So that is on the agenda of the Bonefish Tarpon Trust and others, and they are, they'd be commended for bringing attention to the need to start looking at the catch of fish that really don't serve on the radar of people who eat them or who catch them, but are absolutely essential to the survival of fish that we eat and catch. I'll be back in just a moment. When I do, I'll have some statistics that'll amaze you. Thank you for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host. You're on WGN Radio on the Sunday before Christmas. So if you have been supporting groups that you think are doing good work, and I hope you have been, I thought I'd shed a little light on some groups that maybe have too much support, or at least are too good at raising money, so they don't know what to do with it. And I'm not going to pick on any individual groups, pro or con. I simply am going to recite some facts. This is from the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. We've all seen their ad. They're absolutely heart-tugging. They make you want to cry. They show you dogs that are malnourished and in terrible shape. They show you cats that are in awful condition. And they ask you to contribute to ASPCA, A-S-P-C-A, American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. A worthy idea, a worthy cause. Do you know the CEO of this organization that helps shelter animals? Makes $1.2 million a year. They have 6 senior vice presidents, all of whom make more than $500,000 a year. And then they have their next level of 6, all make more than $300,000 a year. So the top 14 people in this organization all make over $300,000 a year, but the CEO makes more than $1.2 million, and then the next number two person makes almost $600,000. That's listed on their compensation, and that's probably before some other perks and things come in. So think about that for a moment, and compare that to an organization, say, like Ducks Unlimited. They have nowhere near the salaries of this group, and I would offer that Ducks Unlimited does a lot more good for the world than the Association, American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, from the point of view of this. And Ducks Unlimited, National Audubon Society, World Wildlife Fund, Nature Conservancy, Bonefish Tarpon Trust, Delta Waterfowl, Rough Grouse Society. I could go on and on. Rocky Mountain Elk Federation, Wild Turkey Federation. I could go on and on and on. Those are organizations that use your money to either acquire habitat, manage habitat, or carry out science so that we have better managed wildlife resources. They all do something productively for the world, and they are not paying their executives these exorbitant salaries. So next time you're asked to make a contribution to an entity because you think it's a good cause, I would offer, have a look at the pay schedule of their executives, and then you can decide whether your money is being well used or not. American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals has a payroll that I don't believe is matched by anyone else in this world. And then you could ask, frankly, at the end of the day, aside from pulling on your heartstrings, how do all of these shelters and everything work? I'm sure they're doing good things. I've been to them. There's nothing worse than the inhumane treatment of animals. But obviously, the people who run the organization are being treated quite generously. In the time I have left, I want to talk about our Christmas wish list, or our holiday list, if you will. And the first is, and I've got about, six or seven items that I hope arrive under the tree. The first is a director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service who actually hunts and fishes and really truly supports the outdoors and wildlife management and the heritage and the culture of those who've helped build the great conservation community in America. It's been a while since we've had that. I also think it would be great if we had a director of the Bureau of Land Management who has ties to conservation and also has ties to the West and ties to ranches. We in the Midwest and here in Illinois, we don't think about the Bureau of Land Management, but every time you go west of the Mississippi, by and large, you start enjoying Bureau of Land Management lands for hunting, for fishing, for recreation, for boating, for ATVing, and then also those lands are used by ranchers excessively throughout the American West. We need a director who understands the issues of the American West and frankly brings the Bureau of Land Management into the 21st century instead of this extremely hostile relationship we have now between the federal government and the American West, which led in 1980, of course, to the famous, infamous Sagebrush Rebellion, which helped get Ronald Reagan elected. Hopefully we get a director of the BLM who can transform that agency. Also, it would be great. Some of you may disagree with me on this. It'd be great to get rid of hunter education. The need to have a hunter education certificate in order for you to go hunting is a great idea. It's absolutely lousy in practice. If one has taken the hunter education course, it's really a gun safety course. And I would ask rhetorically, how much do you need to know about shooting black powder or muzzle loaders or using a tree stand if you're going to go hunting grouse or ducks, or if you're going to pursue turkeys? It is not a course that helps advance hunter safety. It is a course, put it this way, it may advance hunter safety, but not at the cost that it comes with of causing such an inconvenience. It's more than an inconvenience. It's an impediment to people taking up the sport of hunting. And the number of times I have wanted to take a child, or this case, I think if you're born after 1980 in Illinois, you have to have it. So you could be a 40-plus-year-old man or woman here in Illinois, and if I want to take you hunting, you have to have a hunter safety certificate to go hunting. It's ridiculous. How about just enabling me to take you hunting? That's one of the reasons why we have such significant declines in the number of people who are hunting in America. It's hunter safety courses. Lastly, I very much hope that we can revisit the Pittman-Robertson funds and look at how we can draw more revenue and expand the net of individuals who are participating in what is one of the most successful conservation programs of all. Last but not least, in fact, first on the list, I hope you all have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. I will talk to you next on the Sunday before the turning of the new year. This is Charlie Potter in the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.